webcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, August 27, 2008, the only August 27, 2008 in the history of humanity, and the only night in the history of the United States of America that a major political party, either the Democrats or the Republicans or the Whigs or the Federalists, have nominated a man of African heritage to be their nominee to run for the presidency of the United States. All kidding aside, ladies and gentlemen, this is an historical night, not only for the United States, but all over the world, because of what the United States has represented, the history that we've gone through. And so we, being the students of history, not just biblical history, but the history of all humanity, are especially blessed to be coming to you on this historical night, and also especially blessed to be able to introduce the president of the Gospel Revolution, of which we are taking pledges tonight in the third night of the Summer Pledge Drive from the home offices in Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Glenn, good evening.
Oh, you sound much better than last week.
I've got about 75 to 80% more voice and strength tonight. And, oh, man, I tell you, that was a rough one, but I am back. And I was very much moved myself. You were talking about the a political party, specifically this time at least, the Democrats nominating the first African-American. And, you know, regardless of who you're going to vote for in November, this has been a historic day in the United States. And what a wonderful thing to get to see just the process, regardless of any political affiliation at all, to watch this take place. You know what? I don't care what you are, independent or libertarian, Republican or Democrat, you just have to say this is a proud moment for America that we could possibly come to this point. I'm thrilled.
You know, the Bible has a term for it. It's called repentance.
It really is. It really is. It's a huge mind change, and it's going on more. I think what it did for me was give me the reality that the generation behind me is coming up. I mean, the progress of humanity, especially now with the influence of the gospel and the waning of religion in this country, and I do believe it is waning. It had to get bigger before it falls, which I've said that for many years, that's the path that this would all take, that it would come up like a Goliath to go down like a Goliath. And but I'm telling you, things they're changing. I mean, it's just amazing that the narrow-mindedness and the bigotry has been here, it's fading. It is far from gone in any place on the planet, not just in the United States. But my goodness, how far we have come, and how much equality looks more equal now than it ever looked before.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, for you beautiful humans that are regular listeners to the webcast, you know that I went off last week on bigotry and prejudice and how much I despise that character trait. But yeah, it's really amazing, Michael, that one of the most racist countries in the history of the world that enslaved people for hundreds of years because they had more melanin in their skin. You know, I own a tanning saloon. I haven't talked about it for a while, but it's called the Sunbar Tanning Saloon. You can check it out if you're just curious at sunbartanningsaloon.com. As far as we know, it's the only sports bar for tanning in the world. And people come in, and the tanning industry is a $1 billion-a-year industry. This is how far we've progressed. We used to put people in shackles and separate them from their families and enslave them for generations simply because they had darker skin. I mean, think about the idiocy of that. But we did it. And we did it for hundreds of years. We went to a civil war over it, unfortunately. And now there's a $1 billion industry to get the white people's skin to look more like the skin of the people that they used to put in slave.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, every aspect of it is amazing. And I know a lot of people today kind of rehearsed where they were in their younger lives. It was amazing to listen to Pat Buchanan and saying that he was up in the Lincoln Memorial up behind Martin Luther King.
That's right.
He gave his "I Have a Dream" speech, and I sat there and it's like I was, you know, that just seems like such a long time ago. And then here, this man was a fully grown adult who was there and knowing that he was witnessing history. And I remember in my childhood going into restaurants when segregation was fully in effect, and yet they were trying. It was when the laws against segregation were passed, and virtually every restaurant we went into in East Tennessee, every table had a reserved sign on it, and the restaurant would be completely empty. This is one of my most vivid memories, and me and my family and my aunt and uncle would walk into a restaurant. Me and my family never went to a restaurant, but when my aunt and uncle came around, we got to go to a restaurant. But when we walked in, I remembered seeing these reserved signs, and I said, well, why are they all reserved? There's nobody here. And, you know, I don't know how old that I was. I was probably about 8 years old or so, 8, 9, or 10, somewhere around there. And my aunt explained to me that if black people come in and there is not a reserved sign on the table, they'll have to seat them. But if the reserved sign is there, they can tell them that they have no tables available, that they've got reservations.
Right.
And I remembered that so vividly, you know, and
you know something is insane when people put business practices into effect that literally take money out of their own pocket.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. In fact, their mentality was that it would hurt their white business if they let the black people in. And with such narrow-mindedness, I tell you, it's such a good example, Glenn, of the narrowness of religion, because it saps you. People talk about being blessed of God. Let me tell you something. Since black people started spending money in white establishments, there's been a lot of prosperity going on. And with legalism, it's the same way. It limits, it separates, it degrades until your mind no longer can focus on greatness, empowerment, and inclusion, and the greatness of humanity, and even your own potential gets limited. I mean, just like what you pointed out, they were actually cutting their nose off to spite their face, but that's what legalism does. Bigotry is legalism. That's exactly what it is, because it divides and it grades people at different levels of worth and value.
Exactly, and legalism is bigoted.
Absolutely. I mean, all legalism is bigoted.
And
you cannot be a legalist without being a bigot. You just cannot do it.
This is tied this whole evening, the night that the United States of America, let me tell you something, the original racists were Democrats. And the fact that it's the Democratic Party that, obviously not all Democrats were bigots, but that's where the civil rights movement was fought between Southerners and liberal Northerners. It was like the whole Civil War all over again, and they were Democrats. And to see the Democratic Party be the one to nominate a man of color to be the president of the United States, to see Michelle Obama, highly intelligent, poised, beautiful woman of color representing her family and her country and her party, again, listen, you folks know I ain't no Democrat. I ain't no Republican. My opinion is libertarian because it is the most consistent philosophy to go along with the gospel. Less rules, less regulation, less government, more freedom. That sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? But you cannot deny the quality of the character of these two people that are going to represent at least their party. And most likely, as looking at the political tea leaves, they're going to be representing this country to the world.
Yes.
And it's the 45th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech today. And today is the day. You're right. It's tomorrow when Obama will accept a nomination. Tomorrow is the 45th anniversary. What perfect juxtaposition. You talk about the sovereignty of God. You talk about the effect of the gospel. You talk about the impact of the reconciliation of the world. It's all represented in that couple. They just happen to be named Michelle and Barack Hussein Obama. Of all of the things, Hussein Obama. You got to be kidding me. This is unbelievable. And, of course, all the conspiratorialists and the nutcases and the right-wing wackos think that somehow Barack Hussein Obama is a plant from the Muslims. Are you crazy? He was a regular teenage kid growing up in Hawaii smoking herb. That's what Barack Obama was doing. He was no madrasa, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He loves basketball. He loves the Chicago White Sox. He's from the south side of Chicago. Oh, yes. I'm so excited about it. And,
you can tell.
I'll tell you, there's other aspects, folks, in other segments of our society where you see the excellence of the reconciliation of the world being manifested, like a guy like Tiger Woods, who's Caucasian and Asian and black. He calls himself, and Native American, he calls himself a Kablan Asian. That guy is awesome. Or a guy like Derek Jeter, the shortstop for the New York Yankees, or Halle Berry, the beautiful actress. So many examples in our society.
Oh, even our gold medal swimmer. I mean, look at this, Glenn. This kid is ADD. His mother has spoken out about the fact that Michael Phelps has always been ADD, and we always see ADD people as people who can't accomplish their full potential because of it. And he turned it into the thrust of his full potential. So, I mean,
because he was raised, even though he was ostracized by his peers, his mother raised him, by the way, a single mother, in an atmosphere of acceptance. When you put people in an atmosphere of acceptance, good stuff happens. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been going on now for almost 15 minutes without even asking for money. So we got to repent ourselves, because this is night number 3 of the Gospel Revolution Pledge Drive for the summer of '08, and we need your help. Our goal is $17,500, $7,500 of which is earmarked for the Gospel Revolution Convention for the expenses. We just got a quote for all of our sound and recording and everything for the 5 days at $4,000. So you quickly can see where $7,500 is going to go to. But as of this webcast, we are in the neighborhood of needing about 14,000 more out of the 17,500. So we got a lot of work to do. Now, the people that are listening right now, that are listening live, it's a little after 9 o'clock, about 9:15 on the east coast of the United States. We need you to get us off to a good start. At 1-800-436-3260, that's a toll-free number for the Summer Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution, 800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran is ready to take your calls, your comments, your questions, and your pledges tonight at 1-800-436-3260. We need somebody to be the first caller to pick up that phone. Even if you're not going to make a contribution, we want to hear from you. But, of course, we're taking your pledges tonight. 1-800-436-3260. And if you're listening on the archive, which we know a lot of folks do, we are still in the pledge drive all this week. So please just go to gospelrevolution.com, whether you are listening live or on the archive. Go to gospelrevolution.com. Simply click on donations and then do your best. There's somebody out there that's listening that could cut a check for 14 grand and not miss a meal and not miss a beat. That would be awesome. But everybody who's been touched, who's been encouraged and blessed and moved by this effort really should get in and participate with something. For gifts of $100 or more, whether they be in a one-time gift or in a monthly donation, which would just be a little over $8 a month, you will receive free and postage paid the thank you CD for this quarter, which is the Gospel Revolution Music Mix, Songs of Redemption and Freedom. And in discussing this with Michael off air, we decided that even the CD is amazing. I mean, it's got more genres of music on than you can shake a stick at, number one. But we would understand that maybe some people aren't so into it. So we're going to send you the music CD. You will have somebody in your life, if you don't want to listen to it, who will love this stuff. And we're going to send you an additional bonus teaching CD. So we're extending that to everybody who's given thus far and will give in the summer pledge drive of 2008. So all you do, go to gospelrevolution.com, make your donation one time or a monthly gift. The monthly gifts are so important, folks. We cannot stress that enough. That's the money that allows us to keep going in between the pledge drives. It's critical.
Yes.
And then just email us what you did at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's our normal address. Just let us know what you're donating so we can include you in the goal. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And before we turn it back over to Michael, just want to remind you the toll-free number is 800-436-3260. Please, somebody pick up the phone who's listening right now and get us off the schneid. We're going to have the guests in a couple of minutes here. We want to get off to a real good start on the third and final night of the summer pledge drive. 1-800-436-3260. Michael, back to you.
Yeah, and Glenn, you know, when the people get their music CD that we put together for them, if you start listening and the first song is not one that you care for, just, you know, click through to the next one, and the next one, it's got tags on it so that you, or tracks, I should say, to where that you can go to the very next song, and you know, there might be some songs on it you like and some that you don't like. So, because as Glenn said, it is a mixture of all kinds. There's some of it on it I don't like. So, but there's plenty that I do. So everybody's going to like something on this CD.
Well, let's just say that there's songs of freedom and redemption, and if you listen to the words of even maybe a song that you might think is a little rocky or a little edgy for you, if you listen to the words, it is beautiful how just from many different ways that freedom and the gospel and just the lack of need of religion and religiosity is focused on the CD.
Let freedom ring.
Preach it, Roberts. Well, we will want to thank right now that donations that have come in this week since our last webcast from Victor Brennan of the beautiful nation of Canada, chipped in with $500. Thank you very much.
A good man.
Victor.
I wonder, he's doing all he can to spread the gospel around the world, that's for sure.
Where does Vic live?
Vic lives in Calgary, Alberta.
Calgary.
He's our number one point man there now. He is, ready to make sure that the meetings are successful and always helpful. We have a number of people there, though, that do that, and Vic has certainly taken a lead role there for me and also for the gospel, and we're very, very appreciative of his efforts. And he not only puts effort into it, he puts money behind it, and it's we're very grateful for that.
Helen Gannett of Canada as well increased her donation to $200, which is tremendous. Thank you so much, Helen.
Yes, thank you, Helen, very much.
And Robert Dixon from Australia contributed $300 in monthly gifts of $100 for the next 3 months. Down there, where it's winter right now. It ain't winter here in Tampa. It's hotter than H-E double hockey sticks. But it is, you know what, they this is great. They had a protest or a demonstration about global warming down there in Australia. I just saw this. This was in the last few days.
Yeah.
But they had to cancel it because it was too cold. That is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. But Robert, thank you so much. And we know you're listening to, down there. He comes from a land down under. That song is not in the Gospel Revolution mix. But do you know who did that?
I don't know who that is, no.
Do you remember that song?
I do remember it, but I
we come from a land down under. We like to eat the Vegemite sandwich. I can't think of the name.
I don't know.
See, Sean is tied up. Now, people are calling him
the Blowfish.
No. They're Australians. They're,
I know that.
Well, I'll tell you, Ambergy's going to know for sure.
Ambergy knows all of those wonderful, wonderful, insightful answers to those questions, yes.
Yes, he was the one that knew personal Jesus was by the Pesh Modes. But we also found out in our research, in our extensive Gospel Revolution research, that that Johnny Cash did it first. And so that's just a little hint about the Gospel Revolution music myth. Hint. So we want to remind you that this is the Glenn Klein online webcast, the Gospel Revolution pledge drive for the summer of '08. 1-800-436-3260 is the number. And we've got Harold Lovelace on the phone. And Harold is going to be a featured speaker on the Gospel Revolution Convention coming up in Houston here in November. And we are very excited to have him in Houston, and we're excited to have him online right now. Harold!
Yes, Glenn.
How art thou?
Art thou? We're wonderful. we're good because our Creator's good.
Indeed. Indeed, we got that figured out. That's exactly right. So, Harold, where do you live and where are you calling from? Give our listeners a little bit of an idea of your background, and for those of the beautiful humans that aren't familiar with your efforts.
Well, Glenn, I still live basically in the area, probably within about 20 miles of where I was born, which is in the Mobile County of Alabama, which is on the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
We're near Florida, near Mississippi. Of course, it's hurricane country, but it's a place of easy going, easy living. It's a place that's filled with a lot of religious ideas and dogmas. And for the person who has an appetite to see if there's something better than what they've been told, they will listen. It's like dealing with people who have thought for all their lives that the earth is flat. Oh, they found out it was round. Took the church group 400 years to apologize. So raised in this area, I began a search because I wanted to know and my wife wanted to know whatever it is true. If it's true, we want to know that it's true and be able to show to others that it's true. And if it is not true, to equally be able to know that it's not truth and to tell it to others. Because truth does make you free. And doing that when we were in their 20s, and we're in our upper 70s now, so we've been doing this a long time, and it's not some idea that just came. It was just honest soul-searching, truth-searching, wanting to know truth and how to apply truth, and share it with others. So we began the journey in our 20s, and the road gets broader, and yet it's a narrow road, but it gets brighter all along the way.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned it, use that biblical phraseology, because we were talking about that just a couple of weeks ago with our Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania correspondent, George Howell, who talked about the broad and narrow being everybody on the same path. And but Michael, you can say hello to Harold, and you can also relate from your early years, just yearning for truth and praying for wisdom.
Yeah, you know, I think Harold and I have that a lot in common, is that very early birth of desire to understand the spiritual things, especially Jesus, and to want to understand. And that was my goal, just the same as with Harold. And I also want to say hello, Harold.
Hey, Mike. Nice to hear you.
Good to hear you on here. And Harold and I first met. Let me give the folks a little bit of an update on my relationship with Harold. And we met at Carlton Pearson's church. And what year was that, Harold? Was that 03 or 02?
In that neighborhood.
Yeah. I deal with neighborhoods too now, there, rather than specifics. So, but yes, yeah, so we were asked by Carlton to come out there and speak and be on a panel of, you know, Carlton stirred up all this trouble in Tulsa and then asked us to come and answer everybody's questions. So it was quite an interesting...
Carlton started the fire then asked you guys to come and put the fire out.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you know, but then you guys stoked the fire. That was the problem.
That's what we did, yeah. I don't think he wanted us to put the fire out, but... He and I, along with a few others, and along with Carlton, you know, were trying to answer questions for people, and it was a very exciting time. And I got to tell you this little story about Harold. The one thing that you'll find out about Harold is he knows God, but he knows about everybody else too. So. We were driving back and forth. I had my vehicle there, and Harold and I were staying at the same hotel. And as we would drive, that's where we would get our time to talk, is on this drive back and forth. And so he mentioned that, you know, that it had been so many years since Sam Kinison had died. And the comedian, the screaming comedian that cussed and...
Right, that had a Pentecostal background.
Yes, and was, you know, would make fun of everything religious that he possibly could. And just to give you a little bit about the character of this man that is visiting with us tonight, you know, he just started speaking very fondly of this man, Sam Kinison, and he said, you know, I hadn't been back here since the funeral. I said, what are you talking about, Harold? And he said, I did Sam Kinison's funeral. He's a friend of mine. And you'd never, ever look at Harold Lovelace and think that Sam Kinison was a friend of his. And but he told me the history and how that Sam had listened to Harold and his presentation of the gospel, and actually chartered a plane for people in Hollywood to come out and hear Harold. Harold, if I get any of this wrong, you correct me.
Well, it's close enough that I know they came by plane, and I think there was over 20 people that he brought. And this was a meeting at the church where his mother and stepfather were pastors. How God sets up situations. We met, that is, my wife and I met Dr. and Mrs. Marnie and in Houston, believe it. And so they asked us to come to their church, and then had no idea that Sam was of that family until we got there. And then it began to unfold, and he was a lovely creature. He loved to talk about it, come to the services every day, and was excited as we were about all this. But he brought more than 20 people out and paid their expenses out and for their hotel, their food, and it was a glorious meeting.
Maybe somebody would like to do that for the Gospel Revolution. Unfortunately for Sam, he's now absent from the body but present with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And but maybe somebody hey, the offer's out there. We'll call it the Sam Kinison Memorial Gospel Revolution Scholarship Fund.
Well, we drove around and we found this. We were actually passing the cemetery every day where Sam was buried, and I had the privilege of taking Harold back to that And we had to ask the caretaker, and of course he knew immediately where the directives to Sam Kennison's grave, and we went over there, and I got to hear some magnificent stories. And this is a man that, you know, honestly, the folks are really going to want to meet and hear what he has to share. He is a brilliant human being. You know, spent his time as working in as a chemist, chemical engineer.
I worked in a scientific laboratory for International Paper Company.
Ah,
and
there you go.
We worked on paper and plastics and everything in between.
Oh, that's awesome. So anyway, that's my relationship with Harold, and we've, you know, been on the phone since then and got to say hi to each other in a couple of other situations, and Harold is going to be there with us, so you don't want to miss this.
This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Michael Williams, president of the Gospel Revolution. We've got Harold Lovelace online with us as well. And you can check out Harold online. What's your website, Harold?
HaroldLovelace.com.
That's what a great name for an ambassador and a minister of reconciliation. Lovelace. I love it. But Harold's topic that he's going to be talking about over a couple meetings there in Houston is on the topic of is there a hope in hell? And Harold is a well-recognized expert on the subject of hell and what it is and what it is not. And Harold, without completely giving away the story this evening, you know, Michael was talking about that not only do you know about and know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God described in the Bible, but you know about a lot of other world religions. You were telling me the other day about the Buddhist concept of hell, and I'm pretty well read and pretty well versed in this stuff, but I did not know that. Maybe some of the beautiful humans out there would like to hear about what you discovered about the Buddhist concept of H-E double hockey sticks.
Well, I was picked up a copy of the U.S. News and World Report, January 31, 2000, and its cover page is listed "Hell: A New Vision of Another World." And in this is a write up on the major religions of the world, and of course it's got some fiery looking pictures and the statistics of how many believe that there is a hell, 64%, 25% do not, and 9% does not know. But then as it lists these different religions of the world, and it says one hell is not enough. And it tells you what the... it tells you that Judaism, Hades, was a common fixture for centuries, and for the idea of a literal hell has been widely rejected since the 18th century. And then as you read about these others and their beliefs in hell, it's the Tibetan Buddhism believes that there are eight cold hells. Evidently, they live so far north that if cold is the greatest power that they know.
Yeah.
And that could bring the greatest misery. And they said then with eight cold hells, they have other hells, frontier hells, for those who are guilty of lesser sins. And then other religions of the world is mentioned or other, and it tells how that some will drink boiling, fetid water while they're doing this and walk on this tightrope. Some have thousands of hells. As bad as the hell that has been portrayed on there, seems like the countries of the other parts of the world has even greater.
You know, I guess our Buddhist brothers and sisters have taken the phrase, it'll be a cold day in hell, literally.
Evidently. But I was fascinated with those subjects years ago, but questions begin to come in my mind as a young person, and I would hear them state Arminianism, but they didn't use that phrase, and Calvinism, And basically what I grew up around was that of Arminianism, that if you accepted, if you believed, if you confessed, if you said the magic words, then you would make it. But then I heard others mention this idea that some's going to make it and some are not, and they're pre-programmed, predestined to make it or not make it. And I begin to wonder, you know, as 10 years old, 15 years old in that span, well, what if I live as good and holy or righteous or nice, whatever you want to label it, and but I'm not scheduled to make it? Then, you know, that's all in vain. And yet here's another person that lives the most wretched life, but they're programmed to make it. So I have no other choice but to say something's missing somewhere. Somebody has tampered with the evidence. So we need to look. And that constant drive, let's find the best way that God talks about his creation. And that has been the strong push all my life.
Well, one of the great ironies, Michael, of course, is that the very text and the book that evangelicalism uses to justify that kind of Arminianism or that kind of doctrine is our text, the Bible.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is so amazing about the Bible is that you can take it and make any doctrine out of it that you want. In fact, we were talking earlier at the outset of the webcast about the transition of this country from being a slave-holding country to a country more manifesting the original intent of not only the Constitution, but of the gospel itself. And they use the Bible to justify slavery, for God's sakes.
Yes, and I think Abraham Lincoln said the northern troops and the southern troops use the same Bible to justify what they're called.
He did, and that's one of the reasons that I like to study Lincoln. Although I'm really a Lincoln file in a very real way, and what he did and how he did it is a very fascinating study. But the guy was smart and he was intellectually honest. And Michael Lincoln's the one that said we pray to the same God. And he's the one that said charity towards all with animus towards none, no maliciousness. that's called the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. And, Harold, we're living in a time, and you've seen this transition during the course of your life, where the manifestation of our oneness is being seen all over the place. I mean, people are learning about it. We have opportunities like this radio show, like the conferences. You're going to be in Atlanta with Carlton in September, and of course with us in November, but we're seeing more and more manifestations of our oneness with God and oneness with each other all the time. It must be very exciting for you.
It is satisfying, because when my wife and I begin to study and see these things and comparing the Bible back and forth, we said we would take what we was told were not true and see if we could find if it is truth. And likewise, if it's not true, let's try to find out, and then throw the bad things out and find the real fundamental truth and go with that. And that was the most satisfying piece, to find that we found out that God was really not against us, our creation, but he was for us all. And that makes a huge difference in the way you live, because everyone lives their life according to their interpretation or understanding of God. And if he is a total forgiver, they will be. But if he forgives some and does not forgive others, then that's the way they live their lives. So we need to find out really what God is like. Sir?
Go ahead.
I said that's the way that people live their lives according to their understanding of God.
No doubt. And, of course, the prevalence of Christianity, Michael, and evangelicalism, from the outset of this country, has it that the vast majority of people are not going to be forgiven. So therefore, the vast majority of people, even if they don't go to church, are influenced by that kind of perspective, and they spend their lives in complete and utter bitterness. And we know, because of scientific research, that people that maintain a mentality of bitterness suffer all kinds of diseases and arthritises and heart conditions and brain tumors. And it's got nothing at all to do with God cursing them or God being against them. It's just how they're thinking. They have a lack of salvation. They have a lack of cleansing of the soul, a lack of renewing of the mind. And just like on the positive side, the gospel will have its salvation effect. If you are thinking anti-gospel thoughts or bad news, if you will, it's going to have its day too.
That's just like in forgetting. If you give someone that said something or done something that's hurtful to you, if you go ahead and forgive that person, whether they know it, accept it or not, if you participate it from your side, then you're relieved of that burden. And that makes a different way that you look at them and yourselves, and you realize that they're your brother, they just don't understand that yet. But you learn to forgive like God does. We have to learn to forgive the entire world. Yes, there looks like there's problems in other places, in many places, but go ahead and forgive in advance.
Yeah, but Michael, that forgiving does not mean not holding people accountable, though. In fact, if one could say that to really truly love somebody, you do forgive their actions, but if you really love somebody, you do hold them accountable, because that allows them the opportunity to grow up a little bit.
Sure it does. Sure it does.
Yes, that's absolutely for sure. And, you know, I think that, of course, the infusion of the gospel and the equality of the gospel is definitely the comparisons. If you have false comparisons, you're going to have false results, which Harold, working in a lab the way he did, certainly knows that concept. If you're comparing the wrong things, you're going to come up with the wrong results. But legalism is the gateway to bigotry, to unforgiveness, to hatred, to revenge. It is the gateway straight into every negative thing that a human being can experience. And I really do believe, Harold, that the gospel is the gateway
to
every positive thing about a human being.
Well, Jesus called himself the door, don't forget, gentlemen. So gateway, door, I mean, it's those metaphors are beautiful when you think about it, Mikey.
Yeah, and I really do believe that this is the way into the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, whatever they are and however they are applied. I do not even pretend to understand the gifts of the Spirit, but I know they are gifts, I know they are spiritual, and I know that they do not operate by a man's own performance or his own righteousness. I think the whole world could do this very well if we can get out from under the cloud of legalism and oppression and begin to see ourselves. And we've said for years that the gospel is not a revelation of what we think about God, because I'm quite sure that what I think and what we all think about God is probably at minimal best incomplete, if not completely wrong. But the power of the gospel is not found in you viewing God correctly. It's knowing how God views you.
Yes,
it's the view and the opinion of God and what he sees me to be that has impact in my heart. You see, as Harold was saying, we put this requirement of belief on people, and in doing so, our belief has become our bondage. And we're bound to trying so hard to believe, and that believing is always connected with a certain degree of who you can accept and who you can't, who you can hang out with and who you can't, and to such a degree that it really has pretty well squelched in the human race the presence of God. Because I believe the presence of God is in every human being, and as it was distributed through the cross of Jesus Christ and through his death, burial, and resurrection. But it is the good news that brings it out of us. We're not trying to get anything into us. This is a release of what has been deposited, and the gospel is that release. It is that door. It's not the door into us. It's the door out of us. It's that thing that brings that powerful revelation of who we are. And man, I tell you, there's nothing like knowing you've been acknowledged by God.
No doubt. That's what everybody's looking for, is acknowledgement. If you know anything, folks, about the Internet, you know that these dating services and MySpace and Facebook and the world's greatest bartenders.com. And people just want to be recognized and to be paid attention to and be acknowledged that they exist. Well, when the gospel gets a hold of your soul, and you know that the creator of the universe has looked down upon you and it sees you through the prism of the perfection of Jesus Christ, you talk about some acknowledgement. Now, granted, the instructions from Yeshua, from Joshua, from Jesus, was to make disciples of all the nations. The disciples are not to get a bunch of people who don't smoke, drink, or chew, or hang around with girls that do. It's about to stay disciplined and discipled on the thoughts of the gospel. When you say, when you keep your mind focused by discussing it, by meditating it, that means to mutter. It has a very, very stabilizing and beneficial effect on the human heart. Well, Harold, I cannot wait to see you in person in November.
I'm looking forward to
it. You know, we used to say if the Lord tarries, but I'll say if the Lord tarries. So I can still say that. But something tells me he's going to. And folks, just go to haroldlovelace.com, and you'll stay posted and get on Harold's email list. And he's going to be speaking to us in November at the Gospel Revolution Convention on the topic of, is there a hope in hell? And Harold, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Glenn Klein Online. We really appreciate it, my brother.
Well, thanks, I appreciate it so much because, see, my confidence is in what Isaiah and Paul wrote, that God swore, and he swore by himself, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And so this all then rides on God's word, not just whether about my belief or anyone else's belief, but upon God's word.
Yes. And
so on that stability, we know that it stands and doesn't depend on any man, but it depends on God.
It's a pretty stable rock. It's the rock of ages. Hallelujah.
Right. And it's been my pleasure to talk and listen to both of you tonight, and we'll do it again soon.
And I look forward to hugging you.
Yeah.
All right, Harold, thank you.
Yes, sir, thank you all. Bye-bye.
There's
bye-bye.
Harold Lovelace from Mobile, Alabama. We got him all over the place, Michael. We got him in Alabama. We got him in California. We got him in Canada. We got him in the United Kingdom. We got him even in Cincinnati, Ohio.
We're smoking him out.
We got him in Australia, where we come from a land down under. And now, with the answer to the Glenn Klein Online Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive trivia question, which group did that? Our Cincinnati, Ohio correspondent, Mr. Greg Amberg. Gregory!
Alex, who are men at work?
Under which category?
white guys playing reggae. They, you remember, it was like 1982, and they came out with the same time the Police came out. It was like all this reggae influence.
Right,
rock and roll.
Eric Clapton did I Shot the Sheriff.
Right.
And yeah, those were the good old days.
Good old days.
I come from a land down under. So Gregory, a week ago, Michael was suffering from a stomach ailment. The Lord has raised him up. How is your back doing? You had a back issue last week.
Doing much better. I think I'm going to go back to the treadmill tomorrow.
Nice.
I'm going to be brave.
Mike, you've already been back in the gym too, right?
Yes, actually, this is my third day. And, of course, the first day, and even today was, you know, it's probably about a 50% workout. But just being there and being on the treadmill and getting a stretch and lifting the weights, and even though it was way lighter than usual, oh my gosh, I'm just feeling just fit as fiddle, since we have a fiddle player on our program now.
Who's that?
Mr. Amberg, he plays everything.
Do you?
I don't play the fiddle. I always wanted to.
Yeah, I'm trying
to
give you credit.
Well, speaking of playing, Greg is going to be performing at the Gospel Revolution Convention musically, and as well as speaking, and is also very familiar with the thank you CD for gifts of $100 or more to the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive called Songs of Redemption, or Songs of Freedom and Redemption, and that worked out real good, didn't it, Greg?
Oh, I've really enjoyed it. It was just I was kind of surprised that we came up with so many. We actually had enough to do two CDs if we wanted to.
Yeah, well, that, we got the sequel coming undoubtedly. And but one of the funny things that happened, Michael, is that I turned Greg on to this particular band, and he had to do some searching, of course, for it. And I got a call from 2 hours later, and he's like, "Who are these guys? I haven't been able to turn them off yet." I said, "Well, they're just my favorite group in the world." So
yeah, it's this crazy like psychedelic bluegrass stuff.
Yeah, it's it's
Yonder Mountain String Band.
Yeah, I was very disappointed that you actually cut the song when you did, because they were kind of going off from there. But it's really pleasant, and I'm telling you, we've got every kind of possible genre that you could think of represented on the mix. But and things are coming together for the music, and you got your reservations yet for Houston, my brother?
I do. We're gonna book the plane this week. I got the reservation of the room made, but
that's awesome.
You're bringing Debbie?
I'm bringing Debbie. That's gonna be great.
Oh, how wonderful!
Everybody will like her. She's as sweet as you know, as sugar.
Well, you know, we're having a social hour, ladies and gentlemen, as part of our experience. On Saturday afternoon, we're going to have an extended happy hour where people are just going to be able to mill around, and we're going to have music playing, and where people are going to be able to really get to know each other a little bit. You know, one of the things, Michael, is that people have been asking us literally for the better part of a decade or more for an opportunity to fellowship and get together. And here it is. We got a few rooms left at the Marriott, but you just go down to the gospelrevolution.com website. All the information's there. Carlton Pearson's going to be speaking. Harold Lovelace, Greg Amberge, who's with us right now. Michael, of course, every day, and yours truly, and plus music. So and the Marriott North at Greenpoint Houston, Michael, is a very nice venue.
It most certainly is. Yeah, that was a very pleasant experience for me, because knowing that we were going to be able to offer the people such a really extraordinary venue for this. The ballroom is very nice. The rooms are not only just these beautiful, comfortable beds, but the rooms are all brand new, and it's just beautiful. I really like this Marriott. It's going to be a great place to be able to get together and celebrate the journey.
Well, I have to inform all the beautiful humans that during this process, this has been, of course, over a year in the making, as you can imagine. Well, I just said it's been over 10 years in the making, but we started looking for venues, and one of the places that we looked at, believe it or not, was the back banquet room of a Mexican restaurant. Now, not that there's anything wrong with Mexican restaurants, but I mean, we literally we were in discussions, we were in negotiations for whatever the place was called, Amigos or something in Houston, and but instead, Michael's like, maybe not so much. Maybe we'll do this instead. So we got very good rates at the Marriott North at Greenpoint, and all the information. You can reserve your room online right at the gospelrevolution.com webpage, and you register for the conference, and we're getting there. So, Greg, you got any words of wisdom? Because we've got another call, but we love the fact that you call.
Oh, you asked me what I was going to talk about when I was down there, and I decided I'm just going to go to Bold Grace and steal some stuff from George.
Yeah,
and
George is worth quoting, you know.
No, actually, what Harold just talked about with every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The other part of that I love is that it says to the glory of God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And if we always had this idea that all these evil people were going to bow not of their own volition but because they were terrified of God. And somehow God was going to gain some kind of sadistic pleasure out of having all these people that hate him bowing before him. But that's not the way it is. We're
right.
All going to bow before him because of the glory and the majesty of what he did through Jesus Christ. And
exactly.
It's going to give all glory to God the Father.
We're going to have the same exact response that Thomas had when Jesus walks through the wall. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, that Thomas did not just not believe. He was defiant in his unbelief. He said, "I will not believe." He didn't just say, "I don't believe." He said, "I will not believe." unless I get to stick my hand into the nail prints in his hands and his side. And Jesus walks through the wall, and he says, Thomas, you heard what I said before I died for your sins, that if you denied me, if you didn't believe, you were going straight to everlasting torment and punishment. No. Thomas hits the deck and says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus comes and accepts him and says, come and check it out.
Check it out. One of the interesting things, too, guys, is that not only does that say that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and the doctrine, the weird thing about it is that in the doctrine that the people teach that you're required to believe, it says clearly that every tongue that confesses that Jesus is Lord is born of God.
Exactly.
So, the conclusion in just that proper comparison is, if everybody's going to confess, then everybody has to be born. You cannot say that unless you are born of God. What a tremendous revelation when you begin to compare the right things in the gospel to the things that have already been put there, that have already been compared, instead of us pulling things out of the air and comparing them, instead of a moral life compared to an immoral life, or keeping the law as opposed to not being able to keep the law, or my goodness, the list goes on and on.
Or some people being poor and other people being wealthy and wealth,
yes,
supposed to be the signator of God's approval of you.
Yeah, and then, wealth, of course, or health or any of
and
those.
And then they twist the passage that says God is no respecter of persons, and then applies that to healing and to all kinds of supposed miraculous manifestations. When all it's talking about is God's no respecter of persons. He treats everybody the same. The same,
yes,
God that knocked down Saul on the way to Damascus, and he has the salvation experience. The same God that sees Peter in his resurrected state and says, I hold no transgressions against you. The same God that says that I will judge no man. He is the God that is not a respecter of person, because in his eyes, we are all the same, ladies and gentlemen. Harold Lovelace's email address is God all in all, A-L-L. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, Gregory, thank you so much. We love you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Enjoy the treadmill. We'll see you in a few weeks.
All right. Yeah, talk to you soon.
Here's Greg Amberge, our Cincinnati, Ohio correspondent. This is Glenn Klein online. This is night number 3 of the summer pledge drive. Folks, we need your help. We've had a grand total of 0 pledges so far tonight. And we're going to get into the financial end of this as we round the turn in the last 30 minutes of Glenn Klein Online. But to get on the phone, 1-800-436-3260, this effort of spreading the good news is worth your financial support. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live, if you're listening on the archive, just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, do your best in a one-time gift or a monthly donation. For gift of $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the aforementioned thank you CDs plural now, the music CD and a surprise bonus teaching CD, the music CD that Greg Amberge was instrumental in putting together for us, and a teaching CD from Michael that you will absolutely love, and we need your help. 1-800-436-3260, after you've made your donation to gospelrevolution.com, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you did so we can include you in our goal. We have never not met our goal since we started doing pledge drives. I believe it was in the winter of '07. And we do it once a quarter. We take 3 weeks. Now, obviously, for you folks that are listening to this show, again, whether it be live or on archive, you know that it's jam-packed full of the gospel, as that's just what we do. But once a quarter, we just pause and we ask for your help, and so we're asking tonight. Let us hear from you at 800-436-3260. And now from our South Carolina correspondent down in the land of Dixie, Mr. Mark Gaw. Mark!
Glenn!
How art thou?
I'm doing good.
Hey,
I'm dry. Hey, Michael.
How are you today, sir?
I'm dry. I'm happy.
Awesome.
I'm excited.
what do you mean you're dry? You mean it didn't rain there today? Is that what you mean?
Dude, it's been pouring for the last 3 days. It's crazy. Flooding, tornadoes. Huh?
You guys have had Faye through there.
Yeah.
Well, somebody clearly is in some major sin in South Carolina.
Yeah. Glenn sent the judgment of God upon the Carolinas.
No, I did not. No, I did not. I was in an intercession, but it didn't work. I'll own up to that. I was in deep intercession for the Carolinas. But
I'm in North Carolina tonight.
You are? What town are you in?
An undisclosed location.
Very good.
Where have I heard that before?
So
what's going on tonight, Mark?
Well, Jesus was a man by the name of Marilyn Manson, who is scares people, basically. But it's interesting to me that he did that. He did a version of that as well. He's a very gothic, he's been referred to as Satan's child. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, I heard him in a great interview. MTV put him in front of a group of evangelical Christian young people, and they got to interview Marilyn Manson, and he spoke more highly of Jesus than any person I've ever heard before. And he said he had absolutely nothing against Jesus at all. He said it was Christianity that he had a problem with.
Yeah.
Well, he follows in the footsteps of guys like Gandhi, who said that if it had not been for Christians, he would have been a persuaded of Christ. And Christians give Christ a bad name, and in more ways than one. And it's a shame that this manifestation of the perfect love of God, the creator of the universe, all acceptance, all forgiveness, all mercy, totally gracious, has been portrayed, Michael, by the evangelical world as a vengeful, on the verge of judging. We joke about judgment, but it's not a joke to people who think that at any second a lightning bolt, either literally or figuratively, is going to come out of the hand of God. That's a Greek pagan concept, Zeus, just Jesus, of Zeus. That's where the name Jesus came from. But we got this idea of Zeus holding up the lightning bolts and going to thrust them down on the earth, and there's going to be this cataclysmic thing called Armageddon when we learn through taking the Bible, the New Testament commentaries and the scriptures, and reading them in context, and we found out that Armageddon already took place. It's all done. When Jesus says, it is finished, Michael, he literally meant, it is finished. What an unbelievably outrageous concept that he literally...
It is finished, and if it is finished, you know, something has begun, and that means that the kingdom of God is here. It is amongst us. It is in every heart. We are not looking for a physical kingdom. We're not looking for a kingdom. In fact, Jesus said, you know, you will never see the kingdom of God with your physical eyes. And then here, evangelical Christianity is teaching everybody to look for a kingdom that they'll see with their physical eyes. And it's like, isn't even Jesus' word good enough for these people? And but the kingdom of God is within, and our goal in sharing the gospel, well, our goal is just to share the gospel. What it does is none of our business whatsoever. But I know what the gospel does, and one of the things that it does is that it touches and activates and really does bring forth the kingdom of God that is within us. And as we said, whatever God has placed inside of us, number one, we know the kingdom of God's there, we know the fruit of the Spirit's there, we know the gifts of the Spirit are there, and whatever they are in action by the power of the gospel, not by self-righteousness, not by man's obedience, not by man's sacrifices, not by man's giving, not by man's prayers, not by man's anything. There are people who do not even claim to have any knowledge of God whatsoever who are doing greater works than those who do claim to know God. So as we begin to realize the all-inclusiveness of this incredible manifestation of the work of the cross, and that's what we're doing. We're really bringing to the surface the revelation of the true manifestation of what this work of the cross has done, instead of it being horribly disguised and covered up and muted and made anemic, completely anemic, by the doctrine of Christianity.
Exactly. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Mark Gaw, our North Carolina correspondent, Michael Williams, of course, The Gospel Revolution. We have Richard Mull. Richard, we lost you, so if you're listening, please call back because your number didn't come up on the caller ID. That's our Southern California correspondent, Richard Mull. But Mark, yeah. Mark, we talked to Mark last week, and Mark, you had some specific questions and some specific issues dealing with your girlfriend who didn't like the fact that you believe that everybody is righteous in the eyes of God, and asked you to go meet with her pastor. And I understand that you did meet with him this last Monday. And how'd that go for you?
Went very well, actually. We met for about an hour and a half. And I just basically asked him questions about scriptures that I had picked out regarding the gospel of inclusion, the true gospel. And he walked away looking like God really provoked his thinking. He was quite moved by the true gospel, and he was amazed that I had searched this out like I had and had all the scriptures that I did. And he had to open up his Bible and look at some scriptures a few times before he tried to answer me. And he didn't have anything for me. You know, that I knew the answers that he was going to give me on stuff. So, but just the look on his face was like you could tell that it was doing something to him.
So, ask me, did you have fun?
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it. I was getting all pumped up and excited about it as I was telling him about it.
Yeah, that's
he'd give me an answer, and I'd say, okay, well, what about this scripture? You know, it says, through Christ, everybody's going to be made alive. And then I go to the next one. What about this one? And have you thought about this? But I've had opportunities.
Now, Mark, how long have you been listening to? When did you listen to your first CD or whatever your exposure was first time to the gospel?
Last year was when I first listened to Attaining Perfection that I got from a friend named Bob. And I didn't listen to it. I was interested in it, but I didn't listen to it again until a few months ago. And when I did, things started popping into place. And then what really sealed the deal for me was Romans 5. I hadn't read Romans 5 yet. That sealed the deal with me about being born again. I was actually in the shower when it like dropped into me like a big bucket of water.
Wow.
And you know, when I say to you guys that I got a personal revelation from the Lord about regarding that, that's the part of it that without a doubt, I know God spoke to me.
And tell you what, when that mind shift takes place, you are now a Bible scholar. You don't need to go to Bible school. You don't need to take several years of your life to try to figure it out. Because now it's just discovery. And here Mark is, after just a few short months, he is going in and sitting down with someone who probably has a degree in religious studies or biblical studies and went to school and is provoking thought. It's absolutely amazing that it didn't take, taking Mark. We've not sat down with Mark and taken him through all of the, this is how you do this. We've encouraged him about meeting with the pastor, and I mean, we didn't have to even do that, really. He was already so excited about it. And Glenn has been in communication with Mark also, and it's just, it's a lot of fun for us, Mark, to watch and just to be aware that you're out there. And I know that you like listening to us, but we really love listening to you, and we really love watching you. And seeing what's happening with you, because that's where the strength of this gospel is not even found within this broadcast. It's found out there where that people like Mark Gaw, who has such a transformation through the power of the word and the proper understanding of the gospel so transforming that you're ready to go sit down and talk to a pastor and say, here, I've got some things to share with you. And evidently, Mark, you did it in a heart and a spirit that gave the pastor the ability to respond graciously to you. Congratulations.
I like him a lot. I mean, he's a good guy. And when he gets up there in the pulpit, you know, he really believes what he teaches. And I joked with him about that. I told him either he really believes what he teaches or he's very good at convincing everybody that he believes that.
No, he doesn't really believe it, of course. If he believes people are going to hell, or if he says he believes it, he doesn't really believe it. You couldn't function in society thinking that this God that we are portraying as love actually is condemning the vast majority of human beings to a torture chamber that Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, Joseph Stalin, Napoleon, Caesar, all of them combined, if they held a summit to figure out the most possible wretched way to torture somebody, they could not all come up with that. And you couldn't function. You couldn't watch a television show. You couldn't go to a movie or go out to dinner with your wife. Are you kidding me? They say they believe it. Michael, we said we believed it. You actually tried to live it for about a year or so down here in Clearwater Beach, and you just about killed yourself, burning your feet on the hot pavement in the sand, spending 8 to 10 hours a day just walking the streets telling people about it. You almost killed yourself.
I did it longer than most, anyway.
Yeah, it was a trip, that's for sure.
Well, Mark, listen, we so appreciate you participating and for making the financial contribution. And Mark's going to receive the teaching CD and the Gospel Revolution music mix, Songs of Freedom and Redemption. We hope you do, too, by participating in this pledge drive effort. We've got about 20 minutes left. And if you're listening on the archive, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did at the website at gospelrevolution.com, and we'll include that in our goal, and we are going to meet this goal in the name of Jesus. Hey, Mark, thanks, brother. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Marcus.
Good night.
Call me.
Good night, gentlemen.
Love you.
Good night.
There's Mark Gaw from South Carolina, who's in North Carolina tonight. And now, all the way from Southern California, beautiful Southern California, our correspondent out there, Mr. Richard Mull. Richard!
Glenn, is that you?
That would be me, my brother.
Michael, is that you?
Yes, I'm afraid it is, yes.
Well, I'm calling from an undisclosed location in Southern California.
Well, I think everybody is taking the honors. I'm the only disclosed person around here.
How ironic that you're the only one out of the closet, Michael.
I know.
That's fairly ironic there. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing great. I'm having a fantastic day.
Why is that?
It doesn't get any better than this. I'm free to do whatever I want to do.
now you're preaching to the choir.
That's right. I'm free to give a pledge anytime I feel like it.
And you have been. Richard kicked in $50 this afternoon to get the evening off to a good start. And we'd love to see some folks following your footsteps this evening or this week, Richard. And Richard is one of our biggest supporters in so many ways, and you gonna be in Houston in November?
Oh, I'm gonna be there. I'm ready. I want to meet these people that are holding back this giving, and I'm gonna talk to them about it right now. I want them to give. I want them to open those pocketbooks and give, because this gathering in Houston is gonna be fantastic. We want the people to be there, and you're gonna be there. You know who you are out there. You want to be there. If it's in your heart to be there, be there. You don't have to argue with yourself. Get your head out of the picture and get your heart involved. Reach down deep. Get yourself there and bring money.
Good preaching, Roberts.
All right. Yeah, I can't wait to see Roberts again. I haven't seen Roberts in several years, and I will see him in Houston. I can't wait to see Carlton Pearson. I haven't seen him in years. I'm excited about seeing all these people.
Yeah, and you've never seen me. You're in for the treat of a lifetime. I'm going to tell you that right now, my friend.
No doubt.
The picture on the webcast, on the Glenn Klein Online thing, that's a great picture. If you look anything like that, I'm very pleased to meet you.
Well, they have this thing called touch-ups, you know? Well, Richard, we cannot thank you enough for calling and for supporting and for being there and just for being yourself, because, you know, there's nobody like you on the planet. We know. Nobody has your fingerprints. God put you on the planet to be just who you are, just like the rest of us. And we so appreciate that you just let that personality and your heart and your sense of love and affection flow. It's a tremendous thing, and we really appreciate it.
We do appreciate you, Richard. We love you a lot.
What you guys do and what everybody does, it helps out the ministry. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is better than the Jerry Lewis telethon for muscular dystrophy. This is better than the heart walk and MS and all this other stuff that goes on, because this is what gives freedom to people around the world.
Exactly.
Whether they're crippled or not crippled,
exactly.
Whether they're sick or not sick, whether they're healthy or unhealthy, whether they're rich, poor, or whatever, it gives them freedom, freedom to be who they are, who they were created to be, and to just love life to the fullest.
Well, you know that the healing of the body is good. You know, to be healed of breast cancer, my mom's a breast cancer survivor. That's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
All these things that you mentioned are great causes. But
Amen.
But if you're healed physically from a problem and are in an emotional torment because you do not know the acceptance and the love of God, It's almost in vain. It really is. It's a shame.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And speaking of a shame, I'm going to go to a letter here, Richard, but we're going to let you go. But call us anytime. We really appreciate you taking the time out tonight.
Super. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
Stay logged on because you're going to love this next part.
I love it. Thanks, Sean. You guys take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you, Richard.
Sean O'Halloran getting a shout-out. That's Richard Mull, ladies and gentlemen. And it's so true, Michael. You know, if you get healed from something, and then you think that you're healed to spend eternity in torment, that's not much of a healing.
No, and you know what? I was just thinking. This thought just came to my mind. The greatest advancements in medicine only came as we have progressed to offer the benefit of that to every person, no matter their race or anything about them at all. But as and it seems that, and of course, you know, there were the days that as medicine was in its infancy, you know, it really was only for a certain group of people, and that not just because of their financial status, but just because of their color or their race. And, you know, and my thoughts went to St. Jude's Hospital, which has done more in medicine and the advancement of curing cancer in children than anything on the planet. But St. Jude's does not discriminate against anybody of any race, any belief, or anything at all. And in that atmosphere, there is creativity. I just know that in my heart, that creativity to the kingdom of God begins to manifest when we drop all the crap and we stop being discriminatory and bigoted in our views. But the only thing that can get that out of us is just the love of God. And of course, the manifestation of the gospel is an awesome, awesome thing. Or just needs somebody to take the lead like Danny Thomas did, with this incredible vision that he had of starting this hospital that no child would ever be turned away.
Exactly. That's the theme tonight, is that nobody is turned away. And the manifestation of that is being seen tonight in Denver, Colorado, where Barack Obama was nominated officially to be the Democratic nominee for president of the United States. A man, can you believe it? Of African heritage, just in a country that imprisoned and enslaved people for hundreds of years because they were from Africa. Absolutely incredible stuff. Well, Richard mentioned it being a shame, and this ties into to this email, and I got this today. Dear Michael and Glenn, your emails are shameful. Shame on you all. I know Mike Williams, And I have to assume that he has gone back to the vomit, since you are espousing a doctrine that does not call for God's holiness. He is holy, and he will not be mocked. Homosexuality is wrong and sinful and shameful. If Mike were honest and admitted he is still a gay American with active sexual relations with other men, would there be a payoff in your offerings? I think not. Do not send me any more of your messages. I don't want to hear or see the faux gospel, faux, F-O-U-X, gospel you are preaching. And that's from Fred Kelly. So I get this email, and, you know, Michael, we used to get emails like this all the time. We hardly ever get them anymore.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it was like old home week for me. It was like memories. So here's the letter, ladies and gentlemen, that I sent back to Fred. Dear Fred, thanks for taking the time to write. However, your email demonstrates a complete ignorance of the history of our effort and the understanding of what we teach, and also what Michael has shared publicly about his private life and what we proclaim pertaining to the holiness of God. We love his holiness and his law because we understand exactly what it means and its purpose. Since Michael has shared with our readers and listeners regarding his sexual orientation, actually, our financial support has gone up dramatically. I'm sure you'll be blessed to know that our children have continued to be able to eat, have clothes, have a roof over their heads, and even have some fun. You see, my brother, people respect honesty. Legalism, by its very nature, makes liars out of good people. We know, because we once lived the lie that somehow our actions or belief could somehow add or detract from our relationship with God through the blood of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus is Lord of all the earth. This is what all of our emails say in one way or another. What a shame that you believe that to be shameful. We'll be addressing your comments directly on our show, so perhaps you would like to hear what we have to say as well. In any case, enjoy the rest of your day, and if we don't meet before, we'll see you in heaven with all the other saints. All the best to you and yours, Glenn Klein. Michael, the fact that, you know, and I never really had thought about it, but since you came public with your sexual orientation, now it's been a number of years already, of course, our financial picture, that's when things started turning around, really. I mean, we kind of hit bottom there for a while, but you got to hit bottom before you come back up. And the fact of the matter is, every week, we're here plugging away. We're having this convention in Houston in November. Friday night, actually, folks, is going to be the email extravaganza. We actually have had 6 shows in the last 3 weeks. We have archived a webcast from day one, from October of 06, when this webcast went back online. Every show is archived. And as you said last week, with our last breath, we will be sharing this good news.
Yes, and my good friend Fred Kelly definitely doesn't have the first name Grace Kelly, for sure. Not a lot of Grace in that letter.
But he does have the name Fred, who was married to Grace Kelly.
Fred.
Oh, no, was Fred Astaire, who was Fred Astaire married to?
I have no clue.
Not Grace Kelly.
Mrs. Astaire, I guess.
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. I didn't even need Ambergris for that one.
How about that? Ginger, well, I knew he danced with her. I wasn't sure they were married.
Ginger Rogers. Well, you're right.
But,
they might not have been married. But
this is...
They may have had carnal relations, though.
This email is from Dr. Fred Kelly, the pastor in, I believe it's in Gwinnett, in Georgia. A lot of our friends... know him. He is now the senior pastor of the church there. Can't remember the name of it, but he's not the active pastor. Fred's probably pretty well up in age now. And Fred had me in there, and that was the church that I was attending. Fred was really opening up to some understanding of grace at the time. It was my early understanding of grace. And in fact, I got an email from Fred just a few years ago apologizing for the things he had said about me. And I really appreciate it. In fact, he invited me to stop by and, you know, let's have a cup of coffee or have a visit or something. I really appreciated it, actually. But we never made that connection. But, you know, Fred is a he's a good man. I'd also like to say that Fred is a righteous and holy and perfect man in the eyes of God, even though Fred does not embrace that about himself. And I know that Fred does not want to mock the holiness of God, and yet his entire email mocks the holiness of God. To say that God's holiness and God's righteousness did not win over sin is a mockery. It's an insult to the grace of God.
It's taking the Lord's name in vain.
It is taking the name of the Lord in vain. And a man who has done all that he knows to do to serve God in so many years, to come to this point in his elderly years to absolutely insult the very Christ that he professes to know. But Fred, the power of the gospel, dear brother, is not in your ability to know Christ. It's that Christ knows you. It's that God has acknowledged you, dear brother. He has acknowledged you regardless of your struggles, regardless of your failures. God sees you as holy and perfect and righteous. And being on up in senior years, you do not have to try to make sure that you get everything right before you go. Because when you go, you're going to be greeted in the presence of a loving God, just like this homosexual is going to be greeted.
And just like this heterosexual.
Yes.
And even though, Fred, you took the Lord's name in vain, you're forgiven for that. See?
Yes, absolutely.
See how that works?
2,000 years ago.
Yep.
But, you know, this is the thing, you know, Fred, I can't help it if God sees me as perfect. I can't help it. I cannot disagree with God.
Yeah.
I cannot help it if God sees me as holy and righteous in spite of my sexuality or my conduct or my prayer life or my giving, my dedication. And you know, the other thing is I have dedicated my entire life to sharing the gospel. That does not give me extra points with God.
Right.
I don't need extra points.
Right.
And Fred, the thing that I want to share with you, dear brother, is that your life's work has been as fruitful as you have been able to possibly make it. I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. And but the thing that I want to assure you of is you're not going to have to come and stand with your works before the loving God as you have taught and been taught. You're going to stand there with the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your bosom and his holiness as a crown of glory, and you're going to stand without any blame and without any shame. And, you know, if one of the things that flashes to your mind while you're standing there is this nasty little email that you sent, know that you are forgiven, and we love you.
Yeah, exactly right. That is a beautiful thing. And how perfect that Fred sent this email and referenced our financial situation right smack dab in the middle of the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive. And so let's continue to go in the positive direction. We've never not made a goal, and our goal of 17.5 is still out there. You folks that are listening right now on the archive, as we're about to close this edition of Glenn Kine Online, please get online at gospelrevolution.com and click on donation, make your donation, either a one-time gift. Don't think your gift is too small. Size does not matter in giving. The desire of your heart, just do what you want to do, and make the best gift you can possibly, and for $100 or more, in a one-time gift or in a monthly pledge, you're going to receive free and postage paid the Gospel Revolution music mix, Songs of Freedom and Redemption, and a bonus teaching CD, a CD to be named later. And a man that will be receiving those CDs, a very, very giving individual, and our Stockton, California correspondent, Mr. Abraham Mackey, is online with us. I cannot think of a better way than to close a pledge drive than to talk to Abraham Mackey. Abraham!
Hey, how art thou? I know how thou art.
It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. That's my, that's
channeling
my,
George Beverly.
I'm channeling George Beverly Shea again.
Keep working on it.
Well, you know, practice makes permanent. They say practice makes perfect, but it doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent, because whatever you're practicing, it becomes permanent. If you're practicing imperfect stuff, then practice doesn't make perfect. And that's what happens with the religious mindset. They keep practicing this religious crapola, and that's what becomes permanent in people's thinking. And when you practice the gospel over and over and over again, that is the first thing that comes to mind. Ladies and gentlemen, get in the habit of the gospel. The gospel is good news. As Abraham reminds us all the time, there is no bad news in the good news. And practice that, because you make your habits, but your habits make your life. And if you are in the habit, if you are habitually contemplating the love of God for all humanity, it will have its salvation intent. And Abraham, you're finding that out, aren't you, out there in California?
Oh, yeah. In fact, when I listened to your, I had listened on the archive to the Thursday night email chat you had last week.
Uh-huh.
And in there, I think, well, there was a little part that, Mary recorded and shared with me, where you guys had were talking about something I had written to you, and Michael, you made this comment that you said that Abraham has only just recently heard the gospel, and that just I thought, you know, that's true. I mean, even though I've had all this Bible stuff in me for years.
Over 30 years, ladies and gentlemen, over 30 years.
And of course, there were little bright spots along the way, especially in the beginning, where I saw things through the eyes of grace without even knowing what I was looking at. But years of hearing that other crap, and it is. You do.
Well, that's what Paul called it, Abraham. He called it dung.
It's dung.
Yep. It's duty. Duty.
And so that is my daily bread. It's what, you know, we listen and we study, and this wonderful, awesome lady that is in my life, Mary, we have so much fun. And sometimes it's very serious, talking about what all this means to us and how we're progressing in it and learning and all these things. And, of course, I still go to these little gatherings of these wonderful brothers of mine. And yesterday I went to one. It's the one I've been talking about that I'm going to give my testimony at this next Tuesday. Oh, boy, you talk about going with fear and trembling, but I'm going to do it. And but I was listening to them talk about an auto accident that took place. It was a terrible accident here in Stockton. Two police officers going 100 miles an hour in two different directions, and they collided right at an intersection here.
Oh.
And one of them was very seriously hurt, and they're not, you know, they don't know if he'll ever walk again and everything. And they were wanting to pray for this man, which, you know, that's fantastic, pray. But one of the pastors that was there said, he said, you know, if God were to heal this man and give us a miracle for this man, it would be a great testimony to the glory of God. And it was right after I had heard that, and I'm thinking about that statement. I'm listening, Mike, to one of your recordings where you're talking about, do we persuade men or God? Paul said, do I now persuade men or God? And I thought, That's what we want to do. We want to try to persuade God to do something that we think would be a good marketing thing for his kingdom. Now, am I seeing that wrong?
Yeah,
or
no,
right?
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah, no, that is true. And that's, again, the upside-down kingdom. You know, the Christian world has the gospel completely upside down. And we're not in this trying to persuade God of anything. We're not trying to get a response out of God. In fact, it's just the other way around. God has deposited in us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The entire kingdom of God lives within, all the gifts of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit, all of His righteousness, His holiness, His perfection, His forgiveness, His kindness. Every characteristic of God lives in every human being on this planet, Abraham. And we don't need a response from God. We need to respond to the gospel and let our hearts respond in a powerful way. And the heart will respond in a powerful way. One of my greatest confidences that in sharing the gospel is it's just like Abraham. See, I know that this was intuitive knowledge. You could not learn what you have learned in such a short amount of time in an intellectual sense. I had to, in the words that I spoke, tapped into what you already knew intuitively that was birthed into your DNA. Your very DNA is encoded with this information. I believe that with all of my heart. That is how powerful the work of the cross is. This is a blood issue, and that issue of blood has placed this in our DNA. And our DNA, as they've said, has memory. We remember, we're righteous, we remember, we're holy, we're one with God. That part of us remembers this, and when I share the gospel, or anybody shares the gospel, always have the confidence. I'm telling you, I want people to do this, and Abraham, when you go share it with this confidence. It doesn't make any difference how they respond. They will never, ever be the same after you share with these people. Never. They will forget every sermon they ever heard in their life. They will never forget what you say. Never.
This was where I say, Michael, have you ever said that before? I'll tell you, this whole concept of the DNA, it is so, and the blood, it is so true. I could just start speaking in tongues right now, fellas.
Well, Mike, I've heard it in several of your recordings where you said, you know, as a little kid, you felt very close to God. You felt connected
absolutely
to God until church talked you out of it.
Absolutely. The presence of God was so much a part of my childhood. I'm telling you, the presence of God. I was constantly aware of God in me and around me. I was constantly, that presence got me through being molested from the time I was 5 years old until I was 11 years old, being molested on a daily basis. And it didn't prevent it from happening, but I can tell you what, out of that experience and that tragedy happening in my life, it, again, as some of these other people that we've talked about, those things can turn into positives in your life. It all depends on how you eventually are able to respond. And that's what this gospel has done in the heart of this man. It has restored that which I had as a child and helps me see past the molestation, see past my identity. My identity is not a gay man. It just so happens that I am. But the fact of it is that I am a righteous and holy and perfect man. And because that's what God says about me. And out of that is where that we tap. But that's what, Abraham, that's what we are encouraging everybody to do. Everybody around you knows this. Everybody around you knows this.
The light of Christ is given to every man that cometh into the world.
That's what it said.
That's what it said. Hey, Abraham, do they record these things?
I don't know, but I have a little PDA that has a record feature, and I thought, I'm pressing the button.
No, you need to digitally record this so that we can duplicate it. And so that everybody can hear, I would love to be there. And if you record it, we're there. That's the beautiful thing about the modern technology, that you record it, we're there. So, listen.
We'll be listening to your CD.
Yeah. Well, you are the Gospel Revolution correspondent from Stockton, so get it on.
I love you.
Get it on CD. We love you, too. Thanks a lot, brother.
God bless.
There's Abraham back.
Thanks, Abraham. We love you.
Our brother from another mother. Anyway, I just got a hysterical email from Mark Gaw. I may not be able to finish the webcast, Michael. You know, one of the great things about the gospel being good news is that there's a lot of fun in it. There's a lot of humor in it. And there's no question that God's got a sense of humor, because he made me and he made you and he made Michael. And just as we were talking to Richard Mull earlier, just the way we are. And the only responsibility that we have is to allow ourselves to come out underneath the protection and the love of God. And, of course, when we're talking about protection, we're not talking about protection from accidents like Abraham was talking about, because that stuff happens. It's called life. But we're talking about the protection of God, about knowing that where our eternity is going to be spent, knowing that, as Michael said earlier in the webcast, that the kingdom of God is nigh. It's already arrived. It's not seen with the physical eye, but it is experienced with the human psyche and with the human soul. And that is salvation. That is what the name is, Yeshua. Yeshua is his name. It means salvation, ladies and gentlemen. It's a good name for a Savior, don't you think? Well, we're over time on night number 3 of the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive for 20-08. Mikey, we got a lot of work to do in the next week. And we know that we're going to have a good report for folks when we come online 1 week from tonight. I will be in an undisclosed location next week, back up in northern Wisconsin, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise. We got another email from Richard Mull that we're going to be sharing on the email extravaganza part 3, which will be this Friday night. It'll be on the Jewish Sabbath. So keep the Sabbath day holy and join us on Friday night. We initially had talked about doing it Thursday, but we want everybody to watch the historic moment when an African-American named Barack Obama accepts the nomination of a major American political party. That's history, folks, 45 years after Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. I'll tell you something, Michael. When I was pastoring here in Brandon, Florida, in the church that you helped dismantle by bringing the gospel to, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We had a marquee sign, and on Martin Luther King's birthday, we put on there on one side, happy birthday. Now, it was an all-white church. We had some Hispanic folks, but it was a messianic Jewish charismatic mess. And on the one side of the marquee sign, tens of thousands of people go by the sign every day. We said, happy birthday, Dr. King. And on the other side, we said, prejudice is sin. And, you know, we had African-American folks come to that next Sunday service who were the family of a minister of another church. But as they know that Sunday is the most segregated day in America, because black folk go to their church and white folk go to their church, they just could not believe that in the Tampa, Florida area, right in the heart of Dixie, in the old Confederacy, there was somebody in a white church proclaiming that prejudice was sin and happy birthday to Dr. King. Well, tomorrow is the 45th anniversary, ladies and gentlemen, of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. We have a dream, too, that all men who have been created equal by their Creator will come to know it, and that they will know that they are as righteous, and their righteousness is as sure as the righteousness of Yeshua ben Yosef, Jesus Christ himself. And this is the good news. This is why we do what we do. This is why that we have absolutely no inhibition in asking you to participate financially in it. And as an aside, it is a tax-deductible donation here in the United States of America. And as Richard was talking about just a few moments ago, thank God for the American Heart Association. Thank God for the American Cancer Association. Thank God for Alzheimer's and St. Jude Hospital and all the rest. But what better non-for-profit effort could you be giving your hard-earned money to than the proclamation that all men not only are created equal, but exist equally and in eternity in the eyes of God. That's what we do at the Gospel Revolution. We'll share Richard's email on Friday night, and we've got an email response from Greg Amberge to Fred Kelly's letter, which we'll share on Friday night. So join us then. In the meantime, please get online at gospelrevolution.com and make those donations and let us hear it. Webcast at gospelrevolution.com, what you did so we can include it in the goal. Mikey, enjoy your day off tomorrow.
Thank you, Glenn. It's good to be back.
And watch it.
Really good.
Well, we want to thank Harold Lovelace, who will be joining us in Houston.
Thank you, Harold.
Yeah, for joining us. And our brother Greg Ambergy and Mark Gaw and Richard Mull and Abraham Mackey. We want to thank Sean O'Hallen for producing and engineering and keeping this thing all together and taking your calls here at the official studios in Tampa Bay, Florida. Now, we'll talk to you Friday night at 9 o'clock. And then a week from tonight from northern Wisconsin. Until then, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.